Good morning. Our call to worship. Light of Christ, awaken us this hour to the glory of your presence in our midst. Shine among us in such a way that the darkness without and within may be pushed back, such that we might truly see what is really real. Help us to recognize our sin for what it is. Enable us to behold the world as you created it to be, as you created us to be. Empower us to move from darkness to light, from sin to new life. May your light within us shine through, into, and through this worship all day and every day this week and coming. This we pray in the name of the world, the Word made flesh, the light which is the light of all people, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Gather in your spirit, which were within us.
morning and welcome to each and every one of you here this beautiful morning. To those of you who are guests, would you like to introduce yourselves, or would you like to have someone introduce you and be brave? I see you back there, Landis. Hi. Nice to see you and your kids. That's awesome. Anyone else? Okay. Then in our bulletin, sharing some of the information, not a lot in there to read, but there's always a lot to think about and pray for. And first of all, Anita Klein and Olga Dick are both home from the hospital, so let's keep them in our prayers. Number three, a joyous announcement to be able to congratulate Rudy and Elfrida Redekop on their 50th anniversary. And we've had a few of those this year and a few more coming, and I think that's awesome. That's a huge testament in this day and age. Also under number six, we want to remember that Sunday school and sort of the whole church year begins again September the 9th. And on that homecoming Sunday, we will also have our traditional, well, barbecue, but a time for us to share some food downstairs. And then under number one, we have condolences that go out to the family and friends of Jacob Dick, age 91, who passed away last Saturday. And his graveside funeral service has already taken place. And in addition, I received an announcement for another name to be taken off our list, and that is from Tashi Personal Care Home. And this message is from Len and Lil Hominyuk. It is with deep sadness that we announce the passing of Robert Bell, age 53, on Friday, August the 17th. Notification of the date and time of Rob's memorial service will be announced at a later date. We want to thank the pastors, the caregivers, and friends who have kept in touch with Rob over the years. It was much appreciated. Brianna Bell, Jessica Bell, and Lil and Len. So in honor and in sharing a memorial hymn for these two folks from our congregation, I'd ask you all to take your red hymnal to number 318, Take Thou My Hand. And I'd like to do one verse in German, so Nimm denn meine Hände, for Jake Dick, and we'll do one verse in English for Rob. If you would stand, please. So the first one in German and then verse one in English. Thank you. So for sharing time, has anyone something that they would like to share with us? Nita, I see you back there, Mrs. Klein. Oh. That's wonderful. Anyone else? Okay. Maria. With joy of going on a vacation and coming back, you know, I guess there's always two sides to everything. Thank you, Maria. No one else? I'll just make a quick announcement. I probably should have done it a while ago, but Vic and I, we have a lot of siblings, but our oldest sister, Annie, had surgery for cancer in her intestine just a couple of weeks ago, and the surgery was a huge success, but what followed was she has severe allergic reactions to all of the medication, to the anesthetic, and she spent 12 days in the hospital instead of sort of five. But she is definitely at home now and eating a little and on the mend. And if she gives me any more of her clothes that don't fit because she's smaller than I am, I'm going to tell her to take her clothes and keep them until she gains weight. Okay, if there's no one else that has anything to share, then we will sing a song, Take My Life. The adults would have to listen to it too. Boy, this print is so small, I have to take my glasses off. So today, the adults are going to talk about a story that is about Ruth. And it's not an easy story, but this is explained in a very simple way that kind of makes sense to me, and probably all to the adults and to the kids. So in a place called Moab, there lived a nice family. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons moved there because there was more food there than where they used to live. After a while, Elimelech died, but Naomi wasn't alone. She still had her two sons. Her sons got married, but after 10 years, they died too. At least Naomi still had her sons' wives to keep her company. Their names were Orpah and Ruth. Naomi called her sons' wives and told them, I am going to go back to where I used to live, and I would like you also to go back to your family where you used to live. May God show you kindness as you have showed me. All the women cried and hugged each other because they were such good friends. Orpah didn't want to leave Naomi, but Naomi told her not to worry, she would be fine. So Orpah left to go back to her family. But no matter what Naomi said to Ruth, Ruth would not leave. Don't ask me to leave. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your friends will be my friends, and your God will be my God. So Ruth and Naomi returned to Bethlehem. It was a good thing Ruth went with Naomi, because Bethlehem was very far away, and Naomi couldn't travel all that way by herself because she wasn't young anymore. And a good thing we don't have to walk for days and days to get anywhere, right? At least not in this country, we don't. So notice that Ruth never complains, but she's a good friend to Naomi. And she wasn't expecting anything in return. She just wanted to help Naomi. When they got there, Ruth decided they should do some kind of work. Everybody has to work, I think, especially when you come to a new country. It was harvest time, so she worked in the fields. The owner of the field came by to greet the harvesters and noticed Ruth. And he offered to make sure that she got a lot more from the harvest than she maybe would have expected, because Boaz, this kind owner of the field, was related to them. So Boaz went to talk to Ruth and he said, "Don't go work in any field, but stay here with the other servant girls, and I will make sure you are safe and that you will have water to drink and that you will have extra food." Boaz replied, "I'm being kind to you because I know what you've done for Naomi. You've left your family and moved to a place where you've never been. May the Lord reward you for your kindness." Ruth thanked Boaz and continued to work in the hot sun. And Ruth took all that barley home and shared with what she had with Naomi. And eventually, Ruth married Boaz and everyone was happy. Now that isn't necessarily always the way stories end, but that's the story we're going to hear about today. So let's say a short prayer. Thank you, God, for kindness and for love and for family. And help us to do your work this week and always. Amen. Yes, there is more singing before I get to the next part. And that is a song called Today.
Lainey, you should know that whenever we're here, there's lots of singing.
Thank you.
I've done the prayer, please join me in saying the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning we come before you with grateful hearts, happy hearts, hurting hearts. You know each one of us and what our needs are. We ask that you be with our members in care homes in different stages of illness at home. Give strength to the caregivers as they walk the journey with their loved ones. Give healing to hurting hearts, not just to our brothers and sisters in our church, but to a whole world filled with disappointment, despair, and grief. We ask that you put your loving arms around the grieving families of Jake Dick and Rob Bell and give them comfort. We give you thanks for the blue skies this morning and ask that you protect the families, communities, and the beautiful nature of BC as fires continue to burn, as they also do in so many other parts of our world. Help us to become better caretakers of the earth you gave us. Thank you for the bounties of our gardens and all that we have the privilege of enjoying here. And help us be ever mindful of the many, many who are denied food, health care, education, homes because of wars, greed, and disasters. This morning, we lift our joys and our sorrows, our families and loved ones before you, and ask that you provide guidance, strength, and grace. We pray for our church, God, as we continue to ensure we remain relevant and meaningful in an ever-changing world around us. All this and so much more in our own hearts we bring to you. In your name, Lord, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. The story contained in these chapters of Ruth have a lot of meaning, a lot of messages. It isn't just a straightforward story, as Pastor Marv already began on earlier Sundays. It is a story of life that does not go as it was planned or hoped for. Who of us have not felt this? I know I certainly feel that way. Sometimes life has not turned out the way I envisioned it, and sometimes I'm stung with bitter disappointment, as Naomi must have felt. But Naomi does not lose herself. She picks up her life and goes back home, taking with her her loyal daughter-in-law, Ruth. Naomi and Ruth do not give up. Together, they know that there is work to do. Life must move forwards. They are not complacent about their future. And something I believe we can all become, complacent, content with status quo in our relationships, in our work, and in our churches. And before we know it, things are not what we had expected. We need to be re-energized and reimagine how we want the future to look in our lives, in our families, our friendships, and our churches. With God's help, just as Naomi and Ruth reimagined their new circumstances in life, taking a chance on the kindness of a relative. This is also a story of kindness, of friendship and loyalty, and moving forward, leaving the past behind and embracing a new future, a future God will continue to lead us to and through, but we just have to be ready to do some work. So it does say verses 1 to 8, but it's actually 1 to 18 that I'll be reading. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not seek a home for you that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maidens you were? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash, therefore, and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. But when he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." And she replied, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had told her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Spread your skirt over your maidservant, for you are next of kin." And he said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. You have made this last kindness greater than the first, and that you have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of worth. And now, in truth, it is true that I am a near kinsman, yet there is a kinsman nearer than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will do the part of the next of kin for you, well, let him do it. But if he is not willing to do the part of your next of kin for you, then, as the Lord lives, I will do the part of the next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until the morning, but arose before one could recognize another, and he said, "Let it not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And he said, "Bring your mantle you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and laid it upon her. Then she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "How did you fare, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "These 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, 'You must not go back empty-handed to your mother-in-law.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." As a woman of modern times, I have some difficulty accepting or understanding all that is contained in these chapters of Ruth. Doesn't necessarily align with my 21st century ideas, but in some discussion with Gary, he gave me a bit of a different perspective, and so I'm looking forward to hearing what Gary will have to say as he weaves his interpretation of Ruth and what we can learn.
Well, Amy, you know how to set things up. Only one way to go from here, right? It's so good to see all of you. This morning, I'm surprised even the men's side is fairly full. I understand traditionally this was the men's side, this was the women's side. And as things go, when things loosen up and the women are allowed to, men are allowed to sit with the women, they go scooching over to this side. So, but here we are, looking great. In large part, Eleni's already given us the sermon, but I'll just try to fill in some of the gaps. Thank you for leading us in worship so far. Let's take a moment to pray. We are here, God, because you have invited us. You have reached out to touch our lives, and as we've already heard, there are times when we are in pain, and you are there. This morning, as we look at this story, give us wisdom and understanding, and help us to open our hearts to allow you to speak to us as you did to Naomi and to Ruth and to Boaz. Amen. Last Sunday, Pastor Marv got brave and sang a little bit for us, a little bit of Larry Norman and a few other songs. If I were to sing, and I won't, so you can stay in your pew, it would be... Remember the theme song from Mahogany? Came out in 1973. It was the song that was used at my high school graduation, 1974, in case you want to do some math. Diana Ross made it popular, I think it was in 75. Do you know where you're going to? Do you like the things that life is showing you? Where are you going to? Really quite a catchy song. But like I said, I won't bother you with the singing. So, for those of you who haven't been here for the last few weeks, we've been looking at the story of Ruth. And if you're having trouble finding it in your Bible, it's between Judges and Samuel. It's not in the right place. It should be later on, but anyhow, that's where they tucked it, I think, just to make those of us who come to the front uncomfortable because we can't find it up when we're up here. So the first, just to recap the story a little bit, the first chapter, as we've already heard, Naomi married two sons. Life was bad. They moved to another country. The sons grow up, marry some local girls. Then the husband and the sons die. Pretty sad stuff. And Naomi's life collapses. And she said, everything's terrible. God is punishing me. Why are you doing this, God? Decides to move back home. Says to her daughter-in-laws, you stay here. One does. One says, come on, you're my family. I'm coming with you, like it or not. So, they head back, and when the people, they came from Bethlehem originally, when the people see Naomi coming, they said, is this Naomi? She said, don't call me Naomi. It means pleasantness. Call me Mara, it means bitterness. Because I am bitter. God has really wrecked my life, and I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it from here on in. Now, it's really interesting because as we read the story, there's good stuff there. She's got a faithful daughter-in-law who's going to stay with her, look after her for the rest of her life. She's got a home to go to, relatives out there so she can have fast fun Sunday afternoons. You say, not so bad. But as Lainey mentioned, we go through hard times too. And if we allow bitterness to get a hold of us, which we all do from time to time, that's all we see. All we see is the negative, the bad stuff that's going on. We miss all the rest. Anyhow, chapter 2. So things get a little better. They come there, and Naomi's a bit of a grump, but her daughter-in-law, who's got a bit of a more bubbly attitude toward life, even though she also lost a husband, finds work on a farm with a guy called Boaz. And she collects grain, she goes home. They've obviously got a place to live. They've got food to eat. This Boaz guy is being good to Ruth. And Naomi starts saying, maybe I can make it through today. Today is okay. There's food to eat. There's a roof over the head. We're going to be okay. It's chapter 3 where this story just takes off. Pretty exciting stuff. So, when Naomi moved from bitterness to being able to handle the day because Ruth and Boaz showed her the love and care of God, her eyes start to open and open and open. Stuff starts to bubble. And it goes from, I can handle today, to, wonder what's coming up tomorrow, to, where are we going? This is exciting. And she moves from bitterness to feeling cared for to hope, and the hope starts to turn into dreams and visions. And so Naomi is sitting there, and she starts thinking, wonder what the future holds. Let's think about this Boaz guy a little bit. He's a kinsman redeemer. Kind of a weird term. Comes, if you want to look into it, Deuteronomy 25, Leviticus 25, 27. Part of it is like this. Now, I'm sorry, Lainey, but this was written like 3,000 years ago. And social circumstances were a little different then. Women without a husband were the same as the homeless. So she starts thinking, kinsman redeemer. Now, part of the job of the kinsman redeemer was this. If a man was married and died, and him and his widow didn't have children, then a close relative, actually it says a brother, a close relative was supposed to marry the widow, to take care of the widow, to carry on the family line, and if there was any land, keep it in the family. So she's saying, okay. So this farmer that my daughter-in-law is working for is our kinsman redeemer. He's got a few responsibilities here. And then she starts thinking more. She says, something a little weird's been going on here. She goes to the farm, and the farmer goes, Boaz says, wow, this is a wonderful young woman. Look how she cares for her mother-in-law. I'm impressed. And then he says to her, don't go to any other farm. Stick around here. Oh, by the way, I've told the guys to leave you alone. Oh, if you're thirsty, there's some water over here. Hey, what you doing for lunch? Want some barley? And Naomi's thinking about this, and she says, he's sweet on her. I think this guy's in love. Now, if we read into the next chapter, chapter 3, we find out that he's a little older. Now, it doesn't tell us this, but I'm kind of reading between the lines, and it makes a good story, so stick with me here. She goes, you know what? He's a rich farmer, and he's not married. I think he's got some communication with young women problems here. We're going to help him out. So she called Ruth over, and she says, hey, Ruth, I've got an idea. Do you see how far we are from bitterness here? And we're not just making it through the day. This lady's got some stuff up her sleeve. She says to Ruth, hey, enough of this, we're making it through the day. We need to create a future for you. So we need to make sure that you've got somebody looking after you and somebody to carry on the line and wouldn't mind some grandchildren. So she says to Ruth, this is what we're going to do. We need to talk to Boaz because it seems that he doesn't know how to talk to women. So let's do this. So tonight, after he's finished threshing, because he's busy then, and you know how guys, one thing at a time, right? And then they go out and party after that. That's just what they do. And after that, he goes to sleep on the threshing floor. So I want you to put on a little black dress, clean up, nice perfume, and go down there and just peel the blanket off his feet and lay down. And when he wakes up, he'll tell you what to do. Now, as was mentioned, probably not advice that I would give to my daughter. Seems a little weird, but it all works out. So let's go with the story. So Ruth does what her mother-in-law suggests. Her mother-in-law's eyes are just twinkling, right, about where this is going to go. She goes down there, uncovers his feet, lays down at his feet, and sooner or later, Boaz wakes up. Probably has cold feet. Sorry, little joke there. Anywho's, he says, who are you? Now, it's a good reason to ask, because when people were threshing, thieves would often come by and steal things, and so he's a person, right? And then Ruth says, calm down. I'm your servant Ruth. You know me from the field. Now, this is a point where her mother-in-law said, and he will tell you, nuh-uh. She's cut from the same fabric as her mother-in-law. She's not waiting for this guy to say anything. She's going to tell him. So she says, spread your blanket over me or your garment. Now, let's just stop and explain that a little bit. Now, there's a bit of a play on words. Garment and wings have the same word in Hebrew. And if you remember from last week, Boaz hears about the incredible quality of character that Ruth has. And he says, you have come under the wings of God. May God bless you. And he spins out this blessing. And so partly she's saying to him, remember you said that God should bless me? Well, bucko, how would it happen through you? But also, the word cover me with your wings or your blanket is saying take care of me, which says, how about you marry me? She proposes. Now, let's just think about this for a minute. They were living in a man's world. Women were supposed to be quiet and wait for the man to take the lead. And she doesn't wait. She's in there telling him. It was a rich person's world. People in those days, as today, I might add, it's the people in positions of power and people with wealth who set direction. Somebody called it the golden rule. Those with all the gold may call the rules. Also, she's a foreigner, and not just a foreigner. She's from Moab, and people in Israel hated the people from Moab. Long story, but strange beginning, and they treated Israel poorly. And so here's this poor foreign woman talking to this Boaz, who's a big deal. He's a landowner. He hires lots of people. Well, lots of people say, morning, sir, when he comes by. And she comes down to the threshing floor and says, buddy, marry me. Now let's just pause here for a moment. And I want to back up and ask how this applies to us, because it does very clearly. So what's happened so far? Naomi starts off bitter because her life has fallen apart. Because of the love of people around her, she experiences God's love and care. And that grows and percolates into hope and vision and action. And what happens is she becomes the answer to her prayers. I'm not suggesting that we also always can look after ourselves. You know what I mean? Daniel in the lion's den, a little tough to look after yourself. Pretty much he needed prayer. But sometimes God says to us, you keep praying, and I keep trying to get you going. We all go through hard times in our lives. Times when we, let's be honest, move toward bitterness. Sometimes it's the death of people that are close to us, perhaps a spouse or a child or a close friend. Sometimes it's mental illness in our lives or in other people's life. Sometimes we get diagnosed with something that changes our life, perhaps shortens it. Sometimes we get fired from a job, we go bankrupt, our kids act up, we make some poor choices that ruins our reputation. Each of us has a story that somewhere along the way we've done something that make our world feel just the size of our pain. And that's all we've got. And it's hard. And thankfully, God surrounds us with people. You as a church are particularly good at this, of coming alongside and putting an arm around people and say, we're with you. We're praying for you and we care deeply for you. You do that so well. And so there we are. We still live with the pain. When Ruth and Boaz started treating Naomi nice, that didn't bring her husband and sons back to life. They were still gone. And so when people surround us, that doesn't make the pain go away, but it makes it bearable. And we care, and people who care about us show us that God is still there. But the passage today pushes us a little further. We don't just stay there sort of absorbing all the warm love that comes around us, as good as that is. There are times when God makes that bubble into hope, and hope comes into a dream. And a dream turns into action. Now, I've seen that happen here many times. Some of you go through some really hard things. and you experience the warmth of God's people around you. And then I watch you as you begin to reach out to other people. And I'm going, there was a time when your pain was all you could see. And now you begin to care about others. And you get excited about things outside of yourself. Now, I'm going to hold that one there. We could develop that a whole long way. But just I just want to throw it out there for you to ponder on. The concept is the same for the church. There are times when things happen within the context of the church which are really, really painful. There are times when things happen that make us wonder if the church is relevant anymore and even makes us want to give up on our faith. Sometimes we go to our church and we're hurting and nobody seems to care. And we say, you're supposed to be God's extension. You're supposed to be the ones to embrace me. And it's really hard. And sometimes, within the context of the church, people that we care about maybe have a difference of opinion with. The difference moves into antagonism, which moves into fighting. And sad to say, but in the course of my life, I have seen the most amazing people say and do the most unamazing things. And we get really hurt. And we get discouraged. And we get disappointed. And sometimes we are sitting in a church and we feel wonderful. This is our family. And then the chunk of the church up and leaves. And we go, why? Why are you going away? And it erodes our self-sense, our sense of confidence. And it makes us wonder what's wrong with us. And sometimes church leaders make poor choices. And they say and do things that they shouldn't. And it's hard because these are people that we've looked up to and we've said, ah, look at them. And all of a sudden, no, don't look at them. And it's really, really hard. And it just kind of stabs us deep and it feels like we've been betrayed. What's going on here? And all of that makes us feel bitter, pushes us in that direction. But the amazing thing about the church is, the church is always stronger than those struggles. And when the dust settles, we begin to find ourselves surrounded by people like Ruth and Boaz for Naomi, caring about us and reflecting the love and care and compassion of God. And I've seen that here, the strength of people who just deeply care about the church and about the people in it. That's a good chunk of the reason why Carol and I are still here, because you do care so deeply. And I would guess that Franz and Elma also would have a similar story. So there we are. The pain is still there, but we feel surrounded by people who love us. And we get together every Sunday and we look forward to that. And then chapter 3 happens. That's the part where we get beyond the bitterness to, oh, it is good to worship here too. I wonder what God's got up his sleeve for us. And we begin to dream, and we begin to have visions that are beyond where we are. And we start looking at the front of this church and say, it's great for funerals. I bet you it'd be great for weddings and child dedications and graduation celebrations. And we begin to have dreams. Now, these are not things that we concoct. These are things that God places in our hearts. We begin to have dreams about where we're going to go. And just like Naomi, at first it was just, I need to get through today. Until, where are we going? And the same happens within the church. And the dreams come, and the visions, and we begin to say, where am I going? Sometimes to make that vision happen, we need to break the rules. There's an interesting book, which we are actually using as a sermon series this fall, by a fellow called Stuart Murray. Absolutely fabulous. I'm so excited about looking into this. And what he says is, lose your traditions. Hold on to your heritage. The heritage is at the root. That's who we are. And we don't ever want to lose that, but the traditions are how we do that. And sometimes those need to change for us to get there. And sometimes we listen to some of our younger people and they say, what about this? And the first thing we think of, the first thing I think of is, well, that's not how we've done things. But is it a new way to do the heritage which puts a sparkle not only in our eye but in theirs? And the dreams draw us into being the church and being excited about what God is doing. We're right there, people. This is an amazing church. Gone through lots. You have been just overwhelmingly caring and reflecting God's love and compassion and care. But where to from here? I can see the dreams start to happen here and there. And we need to empower and encourage our church council and Pastor Marv to say, take a chance. We're going to follow you. And it's scary, like it was for Ruth, I'm sure, walking across the yard in her little black dress, going, how does this all work out in the end? And trusting that her mother-in-law knew what she was talking about, and we do the same thing, trusting that God is leading us. There's exciting things coming. Do we hear an amen? Amen. Back to the story. I'm sorry, time is slipping along. I got a little carried away here. So, there's Boaz. And he's got his mouth wide open because he's just been proposed to. So what does he say? Well, I'm reading the passage, and if you read in between the lines, I think what he says is, hallelujah! I got this wonderful person, and I didn't even have to propose. Because he didn't know how. Boaz could have said no. He could have said, excuse me? Didn't. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, a goel in Hebrew. And the job of the kinsman redeemer was to do the work of God in making dreams and visions come true. And he had the power of doing that by virtue of the fact that he was a man in that culture. And he could afford to look after her and care for her and give her a future. So, question comes to us. How many of us are kinsmen redeemers, goels? How many of us have the ability, the power, to make people's dreams and visions come true, both individually and as a church? And the answer is probably almost all of us in some way. Some of you, it's financial. You're able to give a little more because the church is going somewhere. For some of you, it's opening your eyes to see the people who are really hurting, because that's what we are as a church. We care, right? And spending time with them. Maybe even the people who are a little different than us, we invest in them. Maybe it's saying yes to sitting on church council so that dreams and visions go beyond the talking into the reality. Maybe it's saying yes to sitting on our caregiver team. We're going to need some people this fall because it's one way of helping fulfill our dream as a church of caring for the needs within and outside of our church. Maybe it's going to our Sunday school leaders and our club leaders and our youth leaders every week and saying to them, we are so happy that you are here. And I want you to know that we pray for you. And if you need anything, I mean anything, give me a call, and I'm there because you're an important part of our church. Or maybe it's listening when people come up with a different kind of idea and saying, okay, never thought of that. Let's think this through a little bit. What would that look like? If you bring the book of Ruth into the New Testament, who is our kinsman redeemer? Who is the one who makes our hopes and dreams of spiritual fulfillment come true? Jesus. Translates right across. We have come and experienced the fulfillment of our spiritual dreams in Jesus Christ. And now Jesus invites us to be partners in helping fulfill the other dreams so that the Spirit of God moves in and helps us to again find that sparkle in the eye, that sense of excitement about being the people of God. We do this in the context of hurt. We know that. And so like Jesus, we become wounded healers. We feel the pain, but we see the vision, and we encourage people on. May God help us to take a risk, to step forward, to say, yes, God is at work here. God is alive, and we have an amazing future in front of us. May God give us wisdom, the vision, to be who He has called us to be, the kinsman redeemer, empowering church to be the people of God. Amen.
words for thought. Join me in our closing prayer. Lord, open us to the sea of your mercy and water us with full streams and future dreams from the riches of your grace and the springs of your kindness. Make us children of quietness and heirs of peace. Kindle in us the fire of your love and strengthen our weakness by your power as we become close to you and to each other. Walk with us as we leave this place. Be our guide from day to day. Amen.